Father, we do bless you and we praise you this morning. We say that you are lovely today and that you are worthy today. You are worthy of our praise today. You are worthy of our praise today. And God, we thank you even now in the midst of it right now, God. We thank you, Lord. In the midst of whatever storm, in the midst of whatever trial, in the midst of whatever situation, in the midst of whatever circumstance, in the midst of it right now, God. We thank you, Lord, right now. We declare that you are lovely today, God. We declare that you are worthy today. We declare that you're awesome today. We declare that you're the God above any other God. There is no other God besides you today. God, I thank you today. Oh, God, I bless you today, God. You're worthy of our praise today. I won't let a rock cry out for me today, God. I praise you. God, I bless you today. Hallelujah. God, I bless you today. I bless you today. God, we thank you even now, God. Even now, God, we thank you. See, that's the thing that the enemy don't want that this morning. Somebody in here right now came in here on the brink of something, but I promise you today, if you just thank him where you are today, I promise you today, if you just be glad for where you are right now, but I live, hallelujah. Somebody declare, I live today. When the devil thought he had me, I still live today. Paul said, I was shipwrecked, but I still live. Cast out into the sea, but I still live. Snake bitten, but I live today. Hallelujah. And the word says that you shall live and not die. And declare. Somebody say, I'm going to declare some things today. Declare the works of the living God. Hallelujah. Come on, bless him today, God. I thank you for it. God, I thank you for an open heaven today, God. I thank you for an open heaven today, God. I thank you for a healing spirit today, God, to sweep through this building today, God. Deliverance sweep through the building today, God. Set free today, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God, we give you praise today. And we honor you today, God. For you are good. Your mercy endureth forever. David said, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give the Lord a hand praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. God, we thank you today. How many of us today are just excited, amen, about what God is doing? Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me this morning, amen, to the book of Matthew. Amen. Chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. Hallelujah. How many of us know that we are entering into, amen, the last week of the fast? This, amen. How many of us has it been a blessing for, amen? Amen. Glory be to God. I tell you, I thank God, amen, for just, amen, the ability to tell my flesh no, amen. Amen. Even when it's crying out. You know it's bad when you can smell somebody's soda and you know what kind of soda they drink. You know it's bad. When you start looking at stuff that you don't even like and it look good to you. Amen. But we said it before that the flesh, amen, is never satisfied. So it has to be crucified. That's a good shouting point right there. It is never satisfied, so it has to be crucified. We have always got to live of life, not just when we come into our covenant time of fasting and prayer as a body, but there should always be some times in our life that we just tell our flesh, not today. Not today. You can't have that. Amen. Today. And so we're going to begin, amen, this last week of prayer and fasting, looking at how Jesus dealt, amen, with the enemy as he was praying and fasting in the wilderness. I know that we have seen this scripture and heard it before, but we want to try to dig some nuggets out this morning in our allotted time that we might be able to, amen, beat the devil up a little bit more this week. Amen. Amen. I know that we see in the scripture when the Bible talks about how Michael, the archangel of God, dispelled the enemy, Satan, Lucifer, himself from heaven. And the book of Revelations tells us about this war that took place, amen, in the heavenlies. And in the book of Genesis, it tells us how the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent, and he would bruise his heel. But all those things are pictorials of what we see this morning that actually happened in the wilderness. The Bible gives us a picture or a view of as Jesus was fasting and praying, getting ready to be embarked on his ministry that God had purposed for him to do in the earth. He had an occasion to have a conversation with the enemy. Amen. Amen. So we want to deal with that this morning and just look at a few things this morning and believe God for some awesome breakthroughs. The Bible says, I'm going to begin reading actually in the third chapter, the verse number 16. And the Bible says in verse number 1, don't worry about it, Caleb, you can just stay where you are. The Bible says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him. The heavens were open unto him. One of the things that we have to begin to grasp hold to this morning as believers, because we are in Christ now, amen, because we are born again, and because we have a high priest who was a forerunner before us, that now we enter into an open heaven season. Okay, I don't know if y'all got that this morning. The Bible says, and lo, when he had come out of the water, straightway the heavens were open to him. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, when it talks about how him being our high priest, Jesus, our high priest, the Bible says that he passed through the heavens. And the reason why, Elder, he could pass through the heavens, because when he got baptized, God opened the heavens to him. And so now you and I, as believers, as born-again Christians, as spirit-filled entities in the earth, as expressions of God, as ambassadors of Christ, we have an open heaven before us. The thing that we have to do is begin to access what's been opened to us. Bible says, and lo, the heavens were open to him. Watch this. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. So when the heavens were open, the Spirit of God came down and he rested on Jesus, the anointed. Now, I don't know, you know, and this just may be, it may be Charlie Bigger's theology 101. But I believe that when Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost right here, that a manifestation of glory came upon his life. Literally, he had a glow about him. And you say, well, how do you prove that scripturally, Pastor? Well, the Bible said that they were toiling at night and they saw someone walking toward them on the water. Now, if anybody has ever been on the water at night, you can't see anything. The first thing that we do when we go down to the beach, when we go down to Pastor Stephanie's family reunion, we go and spend the night on the beach, the very first thing that we do is we make preparations for the fire that we're going to have that night. Because when the sun sets, you can't see anything on the beach. Anybody ever been to the beach at nighttime? I'm not going to ask you what you was doing on the beach at nighttime. So if they are in the middle of the lake fishing and the storm was billowing and they saw someone walking toward them on the water, that means he had to be shining. I mean, you just speculate all you want. I'm just giving you what I think, you know. So when the Bible says that when the Holy Ghost came upon him, and it lighting upon him, it didn't land, it lightened upon him, it lightened upon him, it gave, I think, light, a glory to his being. And I'm telling you this morning that you might not be able to see it physically, but there is a glow about every one of you in here. Oh, God, I thank you this morning. I feel it already. Hallelujah. Watch this. When you go into your situation, whatever place you may be in, you are glowing to the point where you have the ability to change the atmosphere because an open heaven has been given to you and your high priest has passed through the heavens and he has lightened upon you. The same spirit that was on Jesus is the same spirit that lives inside of you and I today. Watch this. So the Bible says that the heavens open. We're going to get to it. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, descended like a dove, lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. So now, he affirms who Jesus is, the Father himself. He baptizes him with the Holy Spirit, and then the voice from heaven affirms who he is. And many of us today in our walk with God, we struggle in our walk with God and our identity of who we are because we have not had someone to affirm who we are. Well, let me just do that today as your pastor. Let me affirm you in Christ this morning. Let me tell you that you are baptized with the same baptism that Jesus was baptized with. The Father and all the heaven, just like he got Jesus back, they got your back today. Amen. The blessings of Abraham belong to you today. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creation. Everything has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I affirm you today in Christ that you are sons and daughters of God. Amen. Joint heirs with Christ, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. You have been adopted into the family of the beloved. God loves you this morning. Let me just affirm that to you today. So the Bible says that the heavens opened, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God descended upon him, and a voice came from heaven, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So all of this has just transpired. And the Bible says this, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested or tempted of the devil. All these things just transpired. He just got baptized. The heavens have opened to him, meaning that he has got all access, has been granted. You know, you just like a backstage pass. You got that access granted. The voice, Pastor Chris, confirms and affirms who he is. And then the Bible says that the Spirit of God leads him into the wilderness to be tested. The thing that we've got to understand this morning as believers is that every now and then God will lead us to a place to test us. We've said this several times before. It is like a student and a teacher's relationship. The teacher teaches and gives the information, and then she leads them to the point of testing, trying to figure out what they know, amen? Trying to see if they have captured the information that they've been given, amen? And the thing that we've got to begin to do as students, as believers, as ones who follow Christ, we've got to begin to capture the revelation and the information that God has given us through the Word, because there is always going to come a testing time in our life. I would be not telling the truth to you. I would not be giving you like it is. I would not be shooting straight with you this morning if I did not tell you that every now and then you're going to face trials and tests in your life. The question is, how do you deal with them? How do you face the challenge that's before you? Come on, let's look at Jesus this morning. He's our example, amen? Let's see how he dealt with the challenge. Then Jesus was led to the Spirit unto the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. Watch this. He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. So one of the things that we've got to begin to understand when we are faced with challenges in our life is every now and then we have got to crucify our flesh so we can hear from God. I got three amens. That's the challenge. Because we're used to feeding, you know, our flesh when we find ourselves in difficult circumstances. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Henna, how many of us have ever heard of emotional eating? And black people, we got it real bad. We can't celebrate nothing without eating. You get married, we eat. You die, we eat. You have a birthday, we eat. Somebody have a baby, we baby shower and we eat. Because we're emotional, those things are feeling good to us, amen? And so we want to celebrate and we feed our flesh, amen? And we, there's a flip side of that sometimes too. When we are having a stress in our day, we drink. I ain't getting no amens right there. I thought I was going to catch somebody this morning. Amen. We feed our flesh in various ways, but when Jesus was led to be tested, he fasted so he could hear what God is saying. And oftentimes in our life, like I said, it should not just be when we are corporately fasting together. My life has to be one of a fasted life so I can hear God in certain seasons that I'm going through. When I'm looking to hear a word from God, I've got to be able to turn over my plate, push away from the table, and say, flesh, not today. You can't eat nothing. You can't listen to nothing. You can't hear nothing. You're not watching nothing. I'm sitting before God because I've got a season that I'm dealing with, and I'm trying to come out on top of the season, and so I need to hear what God is saying for this season in my life. And no doubt Jesus, the heavens, has just opened and the Holy Ghost has just ascended and he heard his Father speak from heaven, and all of a sudden I'm being led to be tested. I better fast for a while so I can hear what God is saying. 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. I admire that about Jesus. It took him 40 days and 40 nights, Pastor Chris, to finally get hungry. Some of us, in 2 days, 2 hours, thinking about what we're going to have for lunch right now, we hungry. But what was he hungry for? Watch this. Go to the next verse, Caleb. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. First thing that he had to deal with was an identity crisis that the enemy tried to give to him. He's just come out of the water, and God has just affirmed who he is. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And many of us today, we have heard the voice of God, and we've seen God manifest, and we heard revelation come, and we've heard the rhema word spoken, and we've read the Logos word, and we have gotten a understanding, a clear picture of who God said we are. But every now and then, the enemy can try to cast doubt on your identity and have us thinking, am I really? Can I really? I know I want to start this business, but am I capable? Oh, y'all done heard this question before. I know I want to do this, but am I really ready to? I know the word says this, but am I really? I know the word says that, but am I really? And every now and then, we have got to be able to begin to look at the devil and say, I know exactly who I am. You're not going to fool me. You're not going to make me leave my identity. I'm not going to have an identity crisis. I don't deal with low self-esteem. I don't deal with any of those things because my daddy has already affirmed who I am. And that's the position that we've got to stand in. We've got to be able to stand up before the world and everybody else and say, you know what? You might not think I am what I am, but my daddy has already told me who I am. And my daddy words outweigh your word any day. I don't care what the words say, a world say. I know what the words say. And the word says that Charlie is great. Charlie is fearfully and wonderfully made. Charlie is an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I don't care what anybody else say. My daddy has already settled it. That's what we got to live at, amen. So he says, if thou be the Son of God. See, Jesus could have got the complex right there and began to try to prove who he was. Let me tell you something to help you out this morning. You don't have to prove yourself to nobody. Matter of fact, if you're still in relationships with people that you got to prove yourself to, that might not be a relationship you need to be in. I don't need to prove myself to anybody. I know who I am. And I know what God has called me to do. So I'm not concerned about what anybody else thinks. Amen. So Jesus don't have a complex because he knows who he is. Watch this. If thou be the Son of God, watch this. Command these stones. Somebody say these stones. Be made bread. Watch this. Bible says that they're in the wilderness. And many, many people think that this particular wilderness that they're in is the desert or the place where Israel crossed the Jordan River. Jesus had just gotten baptized. Where did he get baptized at? In the River Jordan. And so when he says, the devil says to him, turn these stones, he is talking about a particular set of stones. Now watch this. When Israel crossed, the Bible says that they made a monument of stones, a memorial unto God, that represented the place where they crossed, that was going to always be there and would cause a remembrance to happen when anybody's crossed at that place. They would see, well, this is where God delivered us at. Now watch this now. Stones are also a praise agent. Understand this. They're a praise agent. When I say they're a praise agent, the Bible says that if we don't cry out, watch this, the rocks will do what? Cry out for us. Watch this. So he says, turn these stones to bread. Turn these praise agents to bread. And if you turn them to bread, then you can eat those stones that you just turned to bread. But then Jesus would begin to fall prey to the same thing that Adam fell prey to. He would then begin to consume something that belonged to God the Father and not him. Let me go back to the beginning. The Bible says that of all the trees, Pastor Chris, in the garden you shall eat of, but this one right here. So this one belongs to me. God is telling Adam that. And if this one belongs to me, you don't eat of it. You don't touch it. I mean, you don't eat of it. You do not consume of what belongs to me. And then here's Jesus over here. So Adam fails the test when he is tempted of the devil to eat in Genesis, right? Watch this. So here it is now in the garden. I mean, in the wilderness, Jesus is now the last Adam dealing with another temptation of the devil trying to get the last Adam to fall, just like he got the first Adam to fall. And so he says, if you turn these stones right here, these praise agents, these memorial unto God, and you turn them to bread, you can eat these stones, but these stones belong to God. The fruit of that tree belonged to God, and Adam partook of the tree, and then God banished him. But Jesus, being the one from the beginning, already knows. He said, it is written, man shall not live. God, I thank you today. I'm not hungry enough to eat something that belongs to God. I'm not hungry enough to take in something that's not mine. I'm going to let these stones praise God. I'm going to let these stones remain unto him. And many of us in our time of fasting, you got to get ready to tell the devil and your flesh, devil, I'm not hungry enough to eat this. I'm not hungry enough to eat that, because I want to be able to be a reflection unto him. Watch what the Bible says. Go to the next scripture, Caleb. Next verse. Let me get to my Bible. Watch this. He got it. Jesus said, verse number 4. But he answered and said. He answered and said. That means he actually opened his mouth and said something. He answered, Gerald, and said. See, many of us in our walk with God have not got the understanding of the power of the tongue. We have not gotten the understanding that the word of God that is formed in my heart, the word of God that is spoken out of my mouth. The Bible says, Jesus says this. Jesus says, in that hour, don't be afraid of what you shall speak, for it is not you that speak it, but it's the Spirit of my Father who what speaketh through you. So watch this. So when I open my mouth, it is not me speaking, but it is the Spirit of the Father declaring through me. And many of us have not understood the power of words. The Bible says that the world was framed by words. God spoke. If you look in the Genesis chapter number 1, it's about 10 times God said something and he saw something. God said, let this, and this he saw. God said, let that, and he did what? He saw. God said. And so the Bible says, when the devil talked to Jesus, Jesus talked back to him. Y'all know. Many of us sit here and we got our thoughts and we got our heart and we got my mind and my emotions, they talking, our bills talking to us, our relationships talking to us, our job talking to us, and elder, we sitting there just getting beat up, not saying anything back. Jesus did what? He grabbed hold to a scripture and declared, he said, it is written. And every now and then, you got to get your situation by the scruff of the neck and say, it is written. Y'all got, it is written. It is written. The cattle on the thousand hill, it is written that by his stripe, it is written. Bible says, he says, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So here we have a word that is written, and this is logos, which is the written word of God. Unfortunately, Pastor Chris, many people think that this is all, let me say it right, that when they closed the canon, that God stopped speaking. But there is something called rhema. A rhema word is that which you hear that then confirms what you just read. Somebody say rhema. And Jesus is speaking of rhema right here, because he says every word that does what? Proceeds out of the mouth of God. And when you look at the word proceedeth, whenever you add ETH on it, it is a continuation. It is not something that is over, but it is something that is still happening today. So I can't comprehend how people think today that God is not speaking. If God is not speaking, the Bible said this, that man dies because of the lack of revelation. Man, in the book of Proverbs, where there was no vision, where there was no revelation, that my people perish. And when God begins to give word out of the logos, he then begins to confirm it with what you hear in your audible ear. So he is speaking. And Jesus says, it is written. Man shall not live by these stones alone, but by every word that God has said and that he is continually saying. Did I say that right? Continually? So y'all know I'll make up a word in a minute. That proceedeth. Man shall not just live by this food. I'm not going to take something that belongs to God and eat it for myself and consume it, but I'm going to live by what God says. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Watch this. Verse number 5. And Jesus, then the devil, watch this, taking him up into the holy city, and seated him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. He's still trying to cast doubt. Amen. He says, if thou be the Son of God, watch this, cast thyself down. Then the devil tried to use a scripture. For it is written, he that shall give his angels charge, shall keep his angels charge concerning thee, and in thee, in their hands, thou shalt bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Well, he misquoted the scripture. He misquoted the scripture. And so you got to be careful, amen, and make sure you read. Hallelujah. Don't take my word for it. open your book. Amen. You got it sitting right there in front of you. Put it on the screen for you. Then I read. Make sure, amen, when you hear something that you just don't, the Bible says in Timothy, do what? A worker that does what? He shows himself approved. Why? By rightly what? Dividing the word of truth. So don't sit here and just take Pastor Biggs' word for it. Get in the book. Amen. Amen. So he says, he misquotes the scripture to Jesus. And Jesus, this is the funny thing about it here, Elder Harrington, is he is misquoting the word to the word. The Bible says, lo, I have come in the volume of the book that is written of me. He's trying to quote scripture to Jesus and misquoting scripture to Jesus. And Jesus is saying, look, boy, you don't even recognize that I'm the volume of the book that is written by. You can't get me because I'm the word. And I'm telling you this morning, that's why we've got to eat this word. We got to put it in our frontal lobe. We got to put it on our mind. We got to stick it in our heart. We got to walk with it, live with it, sleep with it every single day. Why? Because the world is trying to throw things at us that's trying to misrepresent the word. Jesus said, I am the word. Watch this. Verse number 7 says this, and Jesus said unto him, it is written again. Like I'm telling you this again. It is written again. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He says it's written again as if like you didn't get the first time. Let me tell you again. Then it says thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It's no need for us as believers to try to tempt God. God already has a plan for your life. And the plan for your life is to get into the will of God for your life. Amen. Everybody got that? And so I'm not trying to test God in this and test God in that. I'm trying to get in what God has already scheduled for Charlie to do. Amen. And so Jesus says, first of all, you misquoting scriptures, and there's no need for me to get up here on top of this pinnacle and jump down. That's foolishness. If somebody say drink the juice, don't drink the juice. That's foolishness. It's no reason for me to test God like that. Because God has already proven himself faithful. God, I thank you for it. He's already proved. What else does he have to do? Say, God, if I run out here and run out across, if you really God, I'm going to run out here and run across I-35. And ain't no harm or danger going to come to me. You'll be on the, And you'll be on the 4, China 4, China 8, China 11, you'll be on the news channel tonight. Yeah, internet, somebody will be blogging about you. Amen. God has already proved himself faithful. He's been the same since the beginning, and he has not changed. All you got to do is look back through your life and see where it's been faithful. Amen. Watch this. Go to verse number 8, Caleb. Let's run on. And again, the devil taking him into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And the next scripture. Uh-oh, writing is too small. Watch this. He taking him into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Let me tell y'all something this morning. It's all a matter of worship. It's all a matter of worship. See, you got to understand this about the enemy of our soul, the adversary, the devil who is after our position again. See, he had the position as worship leader in heaven. And because he had pride in him, of pride was found in him, and then he began to say out of his mouth, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that, that got him in trouble. And so now Michael and the angels of God have dispelled him from the kingdom of heaven. And so the thing that you've got to understand is this. The reason why he desired what he desired in heaven, because he is looking at all creation worship God. And he has found in himself, talking about the enemy, a desire for somebody to worship him. And that's what you got to understand. It's all a matter of worship. It's all about who are you showing your worth to. Now, y'all got to get this. It's about who are you bending before? Who are you bowing before? Who are you kneeling before? What are you kneeling before? Why are you kneeling before them? God is the only one that is worthy of your worship. He told Jesus, watch this. He told the lady at the well, he said, you worship what you don't know, but we Jews worship what we do know. And one day the time is going to come that you won't worship in this mountain or Jerusalem. God is looking for someone who will worship him in spirit and in truth. He is certain. Matter of fact, what he said is the Father seeketh them that will worship him. And he is looking to and fro throughout all the earth to find somebody who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So the question is always worship. Who am I bowing before? So he shows them all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory of them. And says, I'll give it to you if you worship me. Now the debate is, is it his to give? Well, some people think because he has been cast into the earth, and the Bible says he is the prince of the power of this air, that he has the authority to give the kingdoms of the world. Because the Bible says that he is the prince of the power of this air, of this world, of these heavens. We live under this particular thing that he was dealing with. But I told you the other day that God's eternal. And so he does not deal with those things that are, he does not deal in time the way we deal in time. So yeah, you might think that you have the right to do this, but eternally you have already been defeated. God, I thank you for it. And so it's not a matter of you have the authority and the power to give me something, because God is sovereign in all aspects of my life. And if I want something, I don't need to get it from you, devil. I'm going to get it from God, because he's eternally already defeated you. The Bible says in the book of Colossians that he made an open spectacle above you. He took all your power. He took all your key. He took everything that you had that you felt like you were able to operate with in the earth, and he took all that from you. And so the thing that we've got to understand is the world can't offer you nothing that God cannot give you. You don't have to run to the world to get it. You don't have to run to somewhere that's ungodly, in the ungodly place, in the ungodly atmosphere to get what you think that you deserve. God already understands the thoughts and the plans that he has before you. Thoughts of what? To do good and expect it in for you. And so all you got to do is line yourself up with the will and the purpose of God. And everything that God has for you, he will give to you. So we found ourselves bowing down before stuff. We put our job before God. We put our money before God. We put relationships before God. We put stuff that we have deemed important in our life before God. A while ago, I texted everybody one time. We were doing the word for the day, and I texted this, we cancel a lot of things, a lot of stuff. We cancel church for a lot of stuff, but how much stuff do we cancel for church? Let me preach to the choir back here. Choir, how much stuff in your life? When you look at your portfolio, when you look at your plan, when you look at your BlackBerry and all the things that you have, how much stuff in your life do you see that's interfering with your relationship with God? How much stuff in your life do you see that's interfering with your worship of God? How much stuff in your life do you see and you figure out and you say, I'm preaching to the choir. I'm not preaching nobody back there. I'm just preaching right here. How much stuff in your life do you look at your plan and say, you know what? I got to cancel this. I need to cancel that. I got to get rid of this. This is happening and this is doing that. I got to get to a place where nothing is hindering me from my worship of God. Bible says if you would just bow down and worship me, fall down and worship me, I give them to you. Go to the next verse, Caleb, verse number 10. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I'm telling you today, if you worship it, you'll serve it. If you worship it, you'll serve it. And he said, thou shalt not worship anyone. Me and Elder Harrington was talking about this the other day. The Bible says that I am a jealous God. And then he says, I will have no other God before me. I am a jealous God, and I will have no other gods before me. In other words, God says, look, I've invested a lot in you. Oh, God, I wish I had somebody. I've invested a lot in you. Matter of fact, I've given all that I had by giving my son for you. And before I let you have any other God before, I'm jealous, and I've invested too much. That's what you need to say about your marriage. Man, I've invested too much. I'm not just going to walk away without a fight. I'm going to invest too much in my kids. I'm not just going to give them up to the world without a fight. I've invested too much with my money. I'm not just going to give it up to the world. And God says, I'm a jealous God. I'm not going to have any other God before me. And Jesus said, you got to work. He said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou serve. And that's the thing that we've got to begin to understand. In the middle of all the things that we're dealing with, I refuse to bow down to anything other than the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I refuse to confess any other thing other than the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I don't care what nobody say. They can call me intolerant. They can call me a hater. They can, whatever they need to say, they can call me that, because Jesus is the only way. And I'm not bound down to a Muslim. I'm not bound down to Buddha. I'm not bound down to Muhammad. I'm not bound to that. I don't care. You can call me intolerant. You can call me I can't get along. I'm not bound down to nobody but Jesus. Him and only him will we serve. Some of us got to get like Joshua. When Joshua was dealing with those, when he was taking them across, Joshua said, you know what? We having all this conversation over here about all these other gods, all these graven images, all of this other stuff. As for me and my house, y'all can, elders, y'all can talk about it amongst yourself as long as y'all, but as for me and my house, y'all can discuss it. We can have an ecumenical conversation about it. We can have interfaith dialogue, but as for me and my house, you can put it on CNN, NBC, but as for me and my house, I don't care what Larry King or Oprah or nobody else say, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And him, and only him, will we worship. All of this in the middle of a fast. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm tired of it. I'm done with it. I'm through with it. Watch this. Let me finish this and we're going to be through. Watch what he says. Then the devil leaveth him, verse number 11, and behold, angels came to minister to him. When he got to that point, he said, you know what? I'm through with all this extra conversation that we're having. get thee behind me. I don't have no identity crisis. I'm not concerned about what you're saying. I'm going to serve the Lord. And when you get that in your heart, he'll leave you for a season. He'll say, every time I show up at that house, I get bust upside the head with the word. Y'all know that. Every time I show up there, every time I get them to try to doubt, every time I try to mess with their money or mess with their marriage or mess with their kid, they just go into prayer, they go into fasting, and they take those lively stones and begin to chunk them and bust me aside my head with. I'm going to leave them for a season. I'm telling you, you hit him enough, he leave you alone. But the only thing he responds to is the word. The only thing that will kick him out your door is the word. The only thing that he will move to is the word of the living God. And in the midst of Jesus' fasting and prayer and his testing, he relied on one thing. And one thing only was the word. And that's what we got to do. My life has to rely on the word. The Bible says that the flowers fade, the grass wither, but the word of the Lord will last forever. Forever. The word of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms that the word of the Lord has been forever established in the heavens. It's established. We can't go wrong by using the word. Amen? Amen. Come on, stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you this day. We thank you today for the word that so richly dwells in us today. We thank you today. We thank you for the word. And I pray today that we will begin to commit more of the word to our heart today, so the Holy Spirit can begin to bring all things back to our remembrance today. That we would, Father, hallelujah, use the word in every situation today. We thank you for it today. We thank you for it today. Quickly, I want to pray for anybody in here this morning. You say, Pastor Biggers, I've got a word. I got a word depletion in my life. I got a word deficiency in my life. And through this next 6 days of the fast, 7 days of the fast, I want to ask the Lord to give me an ability to increase my word intake. Say, God, you know, I want to increase my word intake, and not just increase my word intake, but I want to commit it. I want to commit it more to my heart. If you're here, I want you to come. We just want to pray with you. I want to pray with you just a quick prayer this morning. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the word of God will change your life today. The word of God will change your life today. The word of God will change your life today. The word of God, when you're standing in the midst of a trial, when you're standing in the midst of whatever you may be dealing with, I promise you today, I dare today, whatever you're dealing with today, you go home today and begin to look up scripture. Begin to find scripture. Come on over here. Come over here. Begin to find scripture that is dealing with what you're dealing with. If you're dealing with sickness in your body, go ahead and get you some scriptures. If you're dealing with your children, go ahead and get you some scriptures. If you're dealing with a marriage, go ahead and get you some scriptures. Go ahead and get you some stones that you can build your case on. You can build your case on the word of God. If you're having financial difficulties in your life and you know you've been faithful in your tithing and your giving, you need to say, God, here is my record. Here is my stone. You said that in your word that the children, the seed of the righteous is blessed. Here is my word. Here is my stone. And you can take that before the Lord God and say, God, you know what? I've got sickness in my body, but the Bible says that by his stripes I am healed. Take the word. word of God to the throne of God and declare it out of your mouth and believe that you receive today. So Father, today in Jesus' name, I thank you today. I thank you today, Father. I declare it today in our life today in Jesus' name. An influx, God. An influx today, God. An influx today. An influx today.